We got another man that we're, testifying to, Kathy and I. He worked with my son-in-law in the DOT. He's a wonderful guy. He'll make such a great saint when he comes to the full knowledge of it. I look forward to the day of serving him because I believe in what I'm telling you. I tried to talk to him. He's been at that church and some of the activities we've had. He came and painted our church and basically did it for free. He charged $400 to tape off and paint and do the whole church building, the trim and everything. Now, the tape and the, and we bought the paint, that wasn't the paint, but he basically didn't charge us anything. It was just the stuff. He had great big sheets of paper, taped off the windows, and did that all work days, $400. And that was his material. I've seen him a day or two, or a few days before this, and I tried to talk to him a little bit. He's always open to talk about the gospel. And that day, he just seemed so discouraged, so down, and he didn't want to talk about that at all. When I start talking about that, you may have experienced this in your life. You're trying to share with somebody about the gospel, and you can see that the door is slammed shut, and his mind went to someplace else, and he was no longer listening to what I had to say. 25 years as a police officer, I can read faces and I understand personalities, and so I saw that was going on. I didn't press the issue, but went home and talked about it with Kathy, and we prayed together. And we thought about it. Well, a few days later, you know, this is how God works if you're looking for Him to work in your life. And it's nothing special about us. He wants to do these kinds of things for you, but if you had an opportunity to stand up here, you could share some of these things out of distance. We were going to go to Ottumwa, and she bought a horse trailer, her cousin lives in Carroll. We wanted to go up and check on the progress, because her cousin is a really nice guy, but they call him Slow Joe. He doesn't get in any hurry. And you really can't say anything because he was doing it for the family price, you know what I'm saying? So we had to Ottumwa. It was a little later getting away. That seems to be happening to me more and more as I've gotten a little older. Takes longer for me to accomplish that which I want to accomplish. So we left the house a little later. We got up to Fairfield, Iowa, and it was about 11:45. And Kathy looked over at me, and there's several places in Tumwa that Kathy likes to eat. And we talked about a few of those, because I don't feel like any of those. But I just really feel like we need to go into Fairfield and eat there. And I said, okay, where do you want to eat? And she gave me two places. I don't know how you have Taco John's down here, but she kind of likes that. That was one of the places. And so I have the two that she gave me, you know, that's where we went. So we get in, and see, I didn't do nothing. Kathy didn't do nothing. We're looking for no blessing. But all the way in, we've been talking about our friend. And she says, you need to call him and see if you can visit him and find out what the problem was and see if you can bring some ministry to him. We go into Taco John's. We order our food. We get it. We sit down. We look out the window. Who do you think pulled up and parked right in front of the window I was looking out of and came in? God had a plan. That plan involved Kathy and I eating at Taco John. And you know what? He came in, he came over and sat with us, and we had the best conversation. He opened his heart up and he shared with me things that I've never heard him share before. I'll tell you what he said. I didn't tell you his name, so I'm not betraying the confidence. But there's a lot of people out there like this. Maybe some of you are like this. You've been involved with the church, and at some level you really believe. But you haven't, at least recently, maybe had a full testimony that what you believe is right and true. And that's what he told me. He said, I've been involved, it happened to be the Methodist church, it doesn't matter. He says, I've been involved in that for a long time. And he says, I grew up in the church. He said, I've served as a lay minister and I've preached some in the Methodist church. I've tried to minister everywhere that I've been. Tried to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. He said, I listen to you and I listen to Kathy and I hear the things that God is doing in your life. He said, I've never experienced that. I've never understood God on that level. He believed. This may sound a little backwards, but He believed, but he'd never been converted. He didn't have his testimony. And saints, there are people in the church that believe because their parents believe. They believed on the testimony of others. They may have even had some experience at some time in their life that helped them to start to believe, but they haven't cultivated that faith in their life. They haven't done the things that were necessary. Jesus said, if you were lukewarm, what was he going to do with you? There is no treading water in the church. We're either moving forward or going backwards. I'm sorry if you don't like that, but that's the truth. It's a truth for me. It's a truth for Kathy. It's a truth for the people in our little branch up in Iowa. If we're not moving forward, doing the things that we can, if we don't believe that the things of God cannot be frustrated, he tells us in that scripture, what are the things that get frustrated? You know, come on. The purposes of man. I'm not going to share the testimony, but I just loved the class today. I hope the kids liked it that I was in this morning. I loved it because we had four of the kids that were there that just came back from 2000 Strong Camp. And I've encouraged them all to come to the prayer service and share their testimony. Hint, hint. Hint, hint. So that you can hear it. It's their testimony to share. But I will just tell you this. They had manifestations of the Spirit. They were ministered to by angels. And they bear record of their testimony of that. Is that not awesome? Is our God not awesome? Does he love us less than he loved those of ancient times or even our fathers and our grandfathers? We read in the church about the way that God shared his Spirit with the church. And sometimes we complain that we don't feel those same kind of experiences, but they're out there. I got to tell you, our modern society, we get so wrapped up and so distracted by the things of the world that I think we overlook the things that God is doing in our life. We don't give him credit. But I'm going to tell you what. If you don't praise God and thank him and look for the opportunities and the blessings that he's given you in your life, then you're missing out. Because recognizing him and praising him and giving him honor and glory for those things helps you to receive more of those things. It's like keys that unlock a door to his blessing. And when he blesses you, you need to claim the blessing. And believe that it happened. And you need to tell it so that others can hear it and that can be a blessing in their lives. But also because it remains true in their lives. Kathy was reading that she's a really good reader, and I'm not that good a reader, to be honest with you. Especially in the winter, but a lot of the time when we've got a few moments, it doesn't seem like happens as often as I would like, and I think as often as she would like. Our pattern is we read books. Now, the last few years, since I'm in the Quorum of 70, I've been reading the memoirs of different 70. This last spring, I finished up. How many people in here have ever heard of the book, Not in Word Only? Anybody? There's a few, not a lot. I think Eric told me about it. And I got them from Paul Levy. I got to tell you, you hear about my book of Acts. You hear about Into the Latter-day Life, The Red Man's Hope, a lot of those books. I've read all those. I've got copies of them in my personal library at home. They're wonderful books. I'm not putting them down. But I'm going to tell you, Brother Harold Belt, he was a 70. I think he must have been an apostle, and then he ended his life as a patriarch in the church. He had a testimony of Jesus Christ, and he was not afraid to share it. And at a lot of our meetings, you might see why. I don't know what her last name is. What is it?
Montanares.
That's his daughter. What a lovely lady she is. It's kind of neat in the book, they're always talking about little why. I mean, there's a little excerpt, not whole chapters about her, but little excerpts about things that were happening about her. So I almost feel, I met her this April conference. I almost felt like I knew her before I got there because I'd been reading what her father had written about her. Saints, the things that happened in Brother Belt's life, they happened because he was a person that was willing to say yes when he could. He was a person who had his eyes focused on the gospel. Had his eyes focused on Zion and the things that are not of this earth, but are of the things that are of the world to come. He understood that in the reality of eternity, what we see and what we live through in this mortal life is but a blink of the eye. He understood that the things that were most important for him to do was to share his testimony of Jesus Christ and to help others to come into that relationship. And in the coming in, they were able to share the joy that he and his family had in Jesus Christ. When we read in Colossians there, we read that he was the creator of all things, that he is before all things, and that by him all things consist. He was the instrument that God used to bring to pass everything that we see, everything that we do. God hasn't changed.
If you've got your scriptures and you want to follow along, I'm not going to read this whole thing. I'm just going to read a little bit. From the book of Moroni, toward the back of the book of Mormon. I'm not going to read the famous part. If I start in a bit, you don't know where it talks about miracles ceased. If they have, he tells us why. I'm not going to reiterate that to you tonight. You know that. I want to talk to you. I don't know if you all need that a little bit farther. And I'm going to start up in verse 35 and just read down a couple. And it said, "And Christ hath said, if you will have faith in me, ye shall have power to do whatsoever thing is expedient in me. And he hath said, repent, all ye ends of the earth, and come unto me, and be baptized in my name, and have faith in me, that you may be saved." Saints, I don't know how you feel, or if you really think about it seriously, or if you, please don't be offended if I say it this way, if you really believe those words. But I do. I have faith to believe that God's purposes are not frustrated. I have faith to believe that if I am in tune with His Spirit and I'm listening to the things that He says, if I'm doing the things that He says, you cannot be a practicing Latter-day Saint unless you are doing the things that He tells you to do in your life. We're a church that believes that God still speaks today on an individual basis. And I believe that He's going to speak to the church in general here very soon, some way, somehow. I don't know how. But it's going to happen. And He's going to call us to a higher level than what we've been operating at. I want to prepare you, brothers and sisters. Are you ready to respond at a different level than you have been? I know most of you. And I know that you're doing the things that you can do. I know that when people call upon you, I'm going to give a shout out to a few people. I'm not trying to make them embarrassed, but Rachel, I got to do it, Chantel, and Crystal. I got a joke with Chantel. For some reason, when I first met her, I thought her name was Crystal, so I started calling her Crystal all the time. She never corrected me once. She just smiled at me. And finally, it dawned on me that that really wasn't her name. So I told her last night that I was going to keep calling her Crystal once in a while, just so. A man of a certain age has some privileges, and you can call somebody the wrong name, that's one of them. Right, Bob? Bob says good. He's a high priest. He's good. When I go to camps, almost anywhere, those two girls are allowed to show up. And they're helping at the camp, helping the kids, working as the nurse for the camp, doing the things that they can do, helping with the singing with the kids. And I can name any other number of you. That same thing is true. So, I understand that I'm kind of speaking to the choir here, but that doesn't matter. I'm speaking to myself too. All the things that have happened and all the things that I've been doing, I retired early from being a police officer so I could get busy trying to share my testimony of Jesus Christ, but that's not enough. I haven't accomplished what God has set before me. The job that He's called me to do. I've still got breath. He's still revealing himself to me. He's still working in our lives, in our home, in our branch, the places where I go to minister. He hasn't changed, and miracles haven't ceased. The church is moving forward. The question is, I'm not going to go into a lot of detail, but I spoke on the first Sunday of the year at our branch. And I've had all these wonderful experiences, but I've never been somebody where the Lord spoke to me and I got up and said, "That's it." The Lord was kind of experienced. One time when I was in a reunion in Maine, the Lord gave me a message for that reunion. It was for that reunion. These words of encouragement. It was confirmed by the presider. And I was getting ready for that sermon, and I started having thoughts go through my mind. And again, I'm not going to share with you the whole thing. The Lord didn't tell me to share that with everybody. I just feel led to share this a little bit with you today. But He did make it known to me that there's changes coming to the world that we live in. And that only those that are truly bonded to Christ through their covenant commitment and their obedience to that commitment will be able to receive the blessings that He's prepared. That's going to allow us, not just me, all of you too, to abide the day that's coming. And if we don't choose to live at that level, then what do you know what said in the Doctrine and Covenants about the church, right? That we're going to learn obedience even if it must needs be by the things that we suffer. Do you remember that? That's kind of what He told me in this connection. But He told me to tell the church there in Kisaka not to be afraid, to be obedient, not to be anxious. He told me anxiousness is not from Him. That's in the scripture too. And I would share that with you today. But we shouldn't be anxious for anything. But we should be looking forward for the things. You think about all the years that the earth has been here, that man has been upon the earth, and all the things that transpired. I've heard people say they wish they were born in a different time. I'm going to tell you, and I believe this is inspired of God, you can believe it or not, I guess I'll leave the Spirit to testify to you, that God allowed you to be born in this time, in this hour, because of what your response can be and the impact you can have on people. I'm going to remind you that God does not love you more than He loves anybody else. Even the most vile person, somebody that you can't even stand, God loves them and He desires for them to repent and come unto Him. He doesn't need us, but He's asked us to be a part of that. So, in Psalm 133, just the first verse there is all I'm going to read. Why don't I read a little bit of the second verse? I love this one. The people in my branch probably get tired of me always saying, you may have heard me, some of you have heard me speak before, I always say this is my favorite scripture. Probably depends on what I've been studying lately. But this is one of my all-time favorite scriptures. It's always somewhere in the back of my mind. Psalm 133 says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like a precious ointment upon the head." There's more to that. That's what I'm going to read. I got to tell you, that's the way I feel about being here with you this week. I know it's hot, but I don't care. I'm with the saints. I know that everything isn't perfect and there's things going on. I don't care. My life is in Christ's hands. I'm here with you. A few weeks ago when I was up at the missionary reunion at Lamoni, I almost cried when we left. So I'd had such a good experience. It wasn't like I saw angels or anything like that. It was just the feeling and love that I had for all the saints that were there and that I felt given back to me. I can't even begin to describe it. And it was like losing a part of you. You're a part of me. I'm not with you. It hurts. In a good way. Saints, I don't want the woman's to be lost because we weren't ready for that which is coming. And we weren't ready to respond in the way that God wants us to respond. But we thought that we'd done enough. We thought that our response was adequate and we could take a break. Thinking back to one of those books that I read about J.J. Cornish. There at the end, I remember when he was in his 70s, he was living up there in Canada, he was putting a roof on. And if somebody called and wanted administration, I think he was up on the roof and somebody called for administration. He got down off the roof as quick as a 70-year-old man can, and he was on his way to administer, to bring ministry. His son, I think, kind of helped fill out the end of the book there. That's what he said. Till the day that he died, all he ever wanted to do was share his testimony of Jesus Christ. Saints, that's a noble expression of your covenant commitment to your Father. I believe that it's very possible that even the oldest one of us here in this room can be here and see Jesus when he comes in power. And we can see him in the flesh. But I don't know that. But I know this, that if we live our lives like he means something to it, if we live our lives like a little child, I remember when I was a child and my parents told me not to do something, I understood that they, most of the time, there was a period, let me clarify this, there was a period of time in my life. You know, when you're young, when you're two, you say no, and when you're 16, 17, 18, you think you got the world by the tail and you know everything. So I went through spells in my life where I didn't understand. I got to tell you, did anybody in here, I just go to the missionary meeting and hear Eric Turner from Dallas's class on baptism? Pretty good, though. Pretty good. He talked about, you know, infant baptism and things like that was one of the things subjects he talked about. He talked about the fact that in the scriptures, several different times, it talks about the little ones. And he made a very good historical case when they talked about little ones. That wasn't children. That was older youth, we would call them today. And those that hadn't been converted to the gospel yet. And that's what they were talking about when they talked about the little ones. It seems we got people in our lives. I got people in my own family that are members of the church and choose to go to the lake on Sunday. Not just once a year or sometime on a special occasion, but every time. I don't want to see one person lost. I know. I don't just have faith that God feels a certain way. He showed me. I know. That's why he's stayed his hand, so that everybody that will can receive the first fruits of the blessings that he's prepared for us. He wants us to be fit to come back into his presence and receive a joy that's unspeakable and a blessing that's beyond description. He desires for us. He desires for us to be his people and for him to be our God. So I want to leave you with probably one of the shortest sections in the Doctrine and Covenants. If you got it, want to read along. Because I believe that you qualify. Now the answer is, the question is, not whether you qualify or not. The answer is, are you willing to heed the call? In section 4. Now behold, a marvelous work is about to come forth among the children of men. Therefore, O ye that embark in the service of God, see that you serve him with all your heart, might, mind, and strength, that ye may stand blameless before God in that last day. Therefore, if you have desires to serve God, you are called to the work. For behold, the field is white, all ready to harvest. And lo, he that thrusteth in his sickle with his might, the same layeth up in store, that he perisheth not, but bringeth salvation to his soul. And faith, hope, charity, love, and an eye single to the glory of God qualifies him for the work. Remember, faith and virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, brotherly kindness, godliness, charity, humility, diligence.
Ask and you shall receive. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Amen. Saints, I recommend you as people that have those qualities. Allow those qualities to grow within you, even as a little child grows in their understanding. And let us be an example to the rest of the church in the way that we love, and the virtue that we have, and the dedication that we have to do the things that God has called us to do. And if we'll do that, my words don't have meaning to me to describe that which is to come. I pray God's blessing upon us the rest of this week, and I pray God's blessing upon you, that you can experience Him on the level that He wants to be there with you at. That we together, hand in hand, arm in arm, heart in heart, and be a part of bringing life to this sin-sick world. God bless you, and I love you very much.
I want to make sure that I didn't forget something when I was explaining this. I'm not sure I said his name. I think probably all of you know it's Dave Drummond. And also neglected to tell you that he might think that he's a priest. I would like to invite you now to turn to